What is it that I have in my hand today? I'm going to hold it up. Can you see what I have in my hand? What is this? Well, if you're sitting in the front, you'll see better. Always more seats in the front. You folks in the back, well, you know, you have your own problems, right? But you see this, you see the shape, you see the colors. What is it? Talk to me. Hey, right. How many of you knew it was a puzzle piece? Boy, you're smart. You are smart. How many of you kids are smarter than your parents? You really helped them through that, didn't you? Sure, it's a puzzle piece. Now, let me tell you about this puzzle piece, because this is one piece of a bigger picture. And without the bigger picture, the individual piece doesn't make sense to you. It's colors and shades. It's a shape, but it doesn't mean anything to you. On the other hand, if you see the bigger picture without this puzzle piece, you realize that something is missing. Something is incomplete. We're in a series on the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, entitled Becoming a Person of Dynamic Faith. Remember, the book of Hebrews was a note of encouragement written to Jewish people who had followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And the pressures of the old life were so great. And the pressures were pulling them backwards. And the author of Hebrews writes this letter to encourage these believers to move forward with Jesus Christ. And when he comes to Hebrews chapter 11, it's the Faith Hall of Fame. He goes back in world history and Jewish history. And he helps these people who know these accounts to see that in their generations previous, there are individuals in all these generations who believed God and were people of faith, and the world was changed. And now, as they read it, they are encouraged in their generation to believe God and go forward with Christ, and the world will be changed. And now, when we read these scriptures and we read these accounts, we in our generation are encouraged to believe God and go forward in faith and let the Lord change the world and change us in the process. So let's turn one more time to Hebrews chapter 11, to the conclusion of the chapter and the conclusion of this series. Hebrews chapter 11, and you want to find verse 32. And in a minute, we will stand together. I'll read aloud from verse 32 of Hebrews 11 through the end of the chapter to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40. All right? Are you there? Let's all stand together and we'll read the scriptures. Follow along as I read aloud. The author of Hebrews says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, and were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect or complete." Now here's what we need to know today. People who become people of dynamic faith are people who understand and accept that they are one piece in a grand scheme of a puzzle, that God is working his purposes in each life over the ages. People of dynamic faith don't look at life just as what it is now. They look at their life in light of what God is doing over the ages and realize that in their generation, in their life, they have a part to play in what God is doing. So let's pray and ask God to help us to become people just like that, people of dynamic faith. Now, Lord, as we come to the end of this chapter and the journey that we've enjoyed through it, the challenges that we've had, and now we come to this very end, and I pray that you would help us to realize that in our generation, you have a part for each one. And so, Lord, with this in mind, give us understanding. Remove from us the blindness of our own hearts and our own preconceptions, of our own carnality and unwillingness. Show us the truth, Lord. And as you show us the truth, it is our commitment that we will walk in it. And so, God the Spirit, we yield to the enabling of the Holy Spirit for this to be done. And we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, from this portion of Scripture, I want to make three observations about people who become people of dynamic faith. The first observation is this. I want you to observe the variety of people who became people of dynamic faith. The variety of people who became people of dynamic faith. As we read the scripture portion, you can't help but notice the variety of people that are listed. It reminds us that people who become people of dynamic faith are sometimes strong in faith and sometimes weak in faith. And so in verse 32, we note where the scripture says, "And what shall I say more?" the author of Hebrews asks. "For time would fail me to tell of Gideon." Now, who's Gideon? Gideon is a judge. We read his story in the book of the Judges. Gideon is a man who became a man of great valor, a man who is a man of mighty faith, but he didn't begin that way. When God met with him and called him to be a leader, he was a poor farmer's son, living in fear. But yet, he became a man who is strong in faith, though he began as a man who is weak in faith. And then you'll notice next of Barak. Now, it used to be when I saw that name, I would pronounce it the Bible way, Barak. But because of the history we've had over the last decade or so, I have to watch myself calling him Barak. Maybe you've run into that confusion as well. But what about Barak? Barak is a man who is another man, who is a tremendous man of valor. But Barak, when God called him to fight the enemy and overcome Sisera, he needed this lady, Deborah, the judge, to help him. And he said, "I'm not going to go unless you go with me." And she said, "All right, I'll go with you." He was weak in faith, but he became a man who was mighty in faith. And then we read about Samson. Now, how many of you, when you think of somebody who has a strong, dynamic faith, how many of you think of Samson? No, not really. When you think of Samson, I don't know what you think of. When I think of Samson, I think of a man who is selfish. I think of a man who is weak. I think of a man who is self-indulgent. I think of a man who is highly susceptible. But yet, when God identifies this man, God identifies him as a hero of faith because with all of his weaknesses and all of his failures and everything in his life that is anything but commendable, this is one thing is true, that he was very aware that his source of power was Almighty God. You will find four times when you read the book of the Judges, four times in the account of Samson, where he identifies that the only source for his power is the power of God. So in all of his weaknesses, he was a man of valiant faith, who was a dynamic faith, because he did, even to the very end of his life, albeit tragic, had his faith in God's power in his life. And then after that, we read of Jephthah. Now Jephthah, that's an interesting character. You read about Jephthah in Judges 11 and 12. Jephthah was a judge of Israel. And he did something really foolish. You ever done anything really foolish? He made a foolish vow. And because of his foolish vow, his virgin daughter was to be killed. Did he ever kill his virgin daughter? That's the question. We don't know. I don't think so. would have been illegal to do so in Israel. Leviticus 27 gives an outline for people that how important vows were to the Lord, but if someone made a really foolish vow, God gave them an out. And my guess is that he made a sacrifice as the law prescribed, and that she, as a consequence of her father's foolishness, was destined to live as an unmarried girl or virgin all of her life. But this man, though he made a foolish decision in a moment of weakness, yet he is called in the scriptures one of the men who's identified as a hero of faith. And then you keep reading in your scriptures of David and of Samuel and of the prophets. And you look at this variety of people that are named for us here, and you realize what an incredible variety of stories, what an incredible variety of life circumstances, what an incredible variety of weaknesses and failures and victories. But all of these individuals became people of an overcoming, dynamic faith because they were willing to believe God and follow Him by faith. Sometimes we're weak in faith. Sometimes we're strong in faith. And when we're weak, it's not over. It means that God has more room to grow us, to become people of dynamic faith. So some people who become people of dynamic faith are sometimes strong in faith and sometimes weak in faith. Sometimes people who are people of dynamic faith are known and sometimes unknown. You read this portion of Scripture, and as you read it, some of those names you recognize, and you realize that, hey, these people made the Faith Hall of Fame by name, but there are others who didn't make it by name. Some are recorded in history, others are a faded memory in history, but in their generation, there are people, some named, some unnamed, that became people of dynamic faith, who God used as part of this great puzzle that He is weaving over generations and over centuries, even over millennia. I love this because I feel like I'm not one of the named. I feel like I fit in with the unnamed. You know what I mean? Do you ever feel that way? But there is one who never forgets the name of people who live by faith. He is the Almighty God who knows all things, and whether you are known, whether you are unknown, whether you are named or unnamed, every individual that is a person is willing to believe God and take God, steps of faith and honor God by faith. Everyone, God knows who they are. God told the church here, or the believers, these Hebrew believers, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown toward His name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." God is a God who is never unrighteous to forget. And He knows you. And He knows the steps of faith you've taken. He knows when you've faltered and when you've gotten back up. He knows when you've lived by sight and when you've lived by faith. And He makes note of those times when you've taken faith, and He will never forget. So sometimes people of dynamic faith are strong in faith, and sometimes we're weak in faith. Sometimes people of dynamic faith are known, and sometimes they're unknown. And sometimes people of dynamic faith experience dynamic victory, and sometimes devastating defeat. So we begin reading in chapter 11, verse 33 of the book of Hebrews again. Speaking of these who lived by faith, who through faith, verse 33, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Who do you think that could be? How about Daniel in the lion's den? Daniel chapter 6. Quench the violence of fire. Who could that be? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Daniel chapter 3. Escape the edge of the sword. out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Who could that be? Well, one, the widow at Zarephath under the ministry of Elijah. His successor, Elisha, raised the widow's son of the Shunammite. The widow at Zarephath, her son was raised. And so you read this and you realize that there are sometimes these people of faith are people that have dynamic victories. But after the beginning of chapter 11, verse 35, the mood changes. And when the mood changes, everything changes, it seems. Because notice what the scriptures say, and others. And now everything changes. We're tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, the bonds of imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. That's what tradition says happened to the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah was preaching so hard and was preaching so directly to the sins of his generation that the people couldn't stand it anymore. And rather than listen to him preach, they sawed him in two. Were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Sometimes these who are people of faith, dynamic faith, knew devastating defeat. How many of you have heard of the book entitled Fox's Book of Martyrs? Who's heard of Fox's Book of Martyrs? I pulled my copy out. This is written in the 1500s by a man named Fox. Fox's Book of Martyrs. Makes sense, right? Smart. I'm smart. You can tell how smart I am. And there's a record of people who over the years were martyred for their faith. Very interesting reading. When you read it, the copy that I have has some things added to it after Mr. Fox had gone on to his reward in heaven that are very interesting. But let me tell you, read to you a couple of things from this book. The book of Hebrews was written before 70 AD. And you know that because as the author of Hebrews is writing, and remember he's talking to Jewish people and he's helping them to see how that Christ is the fulfillment of all the laws and all the things they had in their past. And when he describes what is happening with the offering of sacrifices, he describes it as something that was currently happening. Well, the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, and then sacrifices stopped. So the book of Hebrews was written prior to 70 AD. In 67 AD, there is a formal persecution, a state-sponsored persecution throughout the Roman Empire under the behest of Nero. Actually, there had been a localized persecution that had begun already, but then in 67 AD, Nero lost his mind. And he had his own officials light his own city on fire. You've heard the expression of Nero fiddled while Rome burned. It's true. He's in his gardens playing his harp for 9 days. And the city is on fire, and the people are wondering, what is wrong with our emperor? And so, to divert attention from his own failures as a leader and as a politician, guess who he blamed for all the fires and all the destruction? Guess. Yeah, the followers of Jesus Christ. And so then he made an edict that they were to be martyred. And I want to read to you something of his own actions regarding brothers and sisters in the Lord who have gone before us. And Fox describes it this way: even Nero refined upon cruelty and contrived all manner of punishments for Christians, that the most infernal imaginations could design. In particular, he had some sewn up in skins of wild beasts and then worried by dogs until they expired. Do you see what he does? He takes an animal carcass, he sews people in this carcass and then sets them loose. And imagine a person through the deserts and the hills and the mountains, now the hunted. And so they perished, the victim of dogs, wild beasts. Then Fox tells us this. It says, and others dressed in shirts made stiff with wax, fixed to axle trees, and set on fire in his, that is in Nero's gardens, in order to illuminate them. Now picture that. And he says, this persecution was general throughout the whole Roman Empire, but it rather increased than diminished the spirit of Christianity. Wow. So whenever the author of Hebrews is talking about people who have given their lives, he was not just talking about people in the distant past. He was talking about people who are contemporaries. This whole book has so many interesting accounts. One of them I'll just share with you, the words of William Tyndale, who published his Bible in English. It really is a predecessor to the Bible that we use here. And he was taken and put at the stake. He's burned there. And listen to the words that come out of his mouth. This is in 1536, crying at the stake with a fervent zeal and a loud voice. And listen what Fox tells us comes out of William Tyndale's mouth. Lord, open the King of England's eyes. And he dies. Sometimes people of faith know great victories, and sometimes they know devastating defeats. And I want you to know that just because there's defeat, it doesn't mean that you're a person of that is not a person of faith. The pastor was visiting the hospital one day, and he went in to see a lady, and he walks into the room, and the lady is crying. And he says, "What's the matter?" And she shows him a book. It's a book that was given to her anonymously. She received it in the mail. It was on divine healing and the power of faith. And someone had written on the book that had sent it in the flyleaf, "Read this book. It will give you faith to be healed." You know, sometimes it takes more faith to endure than it does to escape. And if somebody says to you, "Well, you know, if you have enough faith, God will heal you," maybe you ought to encourage them to read the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Because there are all kinds of people who are heroes of the faith, yet they know devastating defeat as well as victory. When you look at all this, you realize the tremendous variety. But you know what I love about Hebrews chapter 11? There's one phrase that is tucked into this passage of Scripture among all these believers who in faith have endured to the very end, who in faith have gone through terrible defeat, who in faith have paid the price for their followership of Jesus Christ. And in verse 38 of Hebrews chapter 11, "of whom the world was not worthy." These who are despised by the world is not even worthy of them. They so outclass them. And it is so. So what a variety of people that became people of overcoming faith. And you know what I love about this is that it gives us all hope. Now look at the variety of people. Just look around this room. Look around this room. You can look around. Just look across. Look at the variety of people in this room. Every one of you have your own stories. Every one of you have your own experience. Every one of us have our own failures. Every one of us have our own victories. Every one of us have our own valleys to walk. But I want you to know this. There is not a person in this room who cannot become, by the power of God, a person of dynamic faith. You can become a person of dynamic faith if you will believe what God says and take that next step of faith and the next step of faith and the next step of faith. You can become a person who is a person of dynamic faith. So we observe the variety of people who became people of dynamic faith. There's something else to observe. Here's a second observation. The vision of people who become people of dynamic faith. So Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 39 and then verse 40, God tells us about how these saints of dynamic faith viewed their lives. He does so as he is speaking to the present generation of Hebrew believers, and he's helping them to learn from the past generation. And he tells them in verse 39 of Hebrews chapter 11, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." Now wait a minute. I thought they were people of faith. They didn't receive the promise. The answer is, in their lifetime, they didn't receive all the promises they were expecting. Not in their lifetime, they didn't. However, I want you to notice verse 40, because in verse 40, the author comes from the past generation. He looks again at the present generation. And God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us or apart from us, should not be made perfect or complete. Now see, for these Jewish believers, in their past life, all they knew was ceremonies of the past. All those ceremonies of the past pictured present spiritual realities they were experiencing and learning about. They knew the sacrifices of the past, but all those sacrifices of the past pictured present spiritual realities that they were enjoying and learning about in their generation. They knew the statutes of the past and all those laws. But now they realize that all of these laws pointed to a reality of an identification with God, the one true God, and with Jesus Christ. So that for them, the whole point of the book of Hebrews was for Jewish believers to experience the big picture of God's working in the lives of men and in this world to fulfill His promises and His plans in their generation. For centuries, people of faith looked forward. This whole chapter is people of faith looking forward to what God had before them, looking forward to it. And now these believers in their generation were able to experience it, so that all of those Old Testament saints, they didn't see the whole big picture. In fact, what they knew was incomplete. Now these New Testament saints, what they know is complete, and the Old Testament and the New Testament fit together in an incredible mosaic of a tapestry of puzzles, puzzle pieces. Do you realize that when God calls you to a life of faith, there's something He's doing that is far bigger than you and far bigger than me? And it began all the way back in eternity past, and passed through the garden and passed all through the timeline of history and all through God's revelation of Himself. And all of this passes, and God is even working so that your life is part this great scheme, this great plan that He is fulfilling. You're part of it. But the New Testament revelation completes the story of God's plan for the world. And now, In subsequent generations, we live by faith in God's completed revelation for the day when we all will complete his plan. And it brings us to the third and final observation about people who become people of dynamic faith. And that is the imperative of people who become people of dynamic faith. Here it is. Here's what you have to understand about people who become people of dynamic faith, and that is that it is accepting my part in God's big picture. My part. I can't help the generation before. God has sovereignly placed you and placed me, all of us, where we are in our lives in this generation. And whatever it is that God calls us to do, whatever it is he calls us to become, whatever step of faith he calls us to take, whatever it is that God is doing, we are responsible to accept this in our generation as a stewardship that God has placed before me and before you to take that step of faith and become that person who is a person of dynamic faith. And that's where the puzzle piece comes in, believe it or not. Because you look at this puzzle piece and it doesn't mean anything to you. But if I brought to you the entire puzzle, and you could look at it and you said, it's called The Princess Finds Baby Moses. You see that? But you'll notice though, wait a minute. See, that piece doesn't make sense to you until you put it into the place that it's designed. Without it, this is incomplete. But with it, it's complete. With it, that one piece that didn't make any sense before makes complete sense. And God takes your life, and in your venture of faith, you're a puzzle piece. Your puzzle piece has a little different shape than everyone else's, different hues of color. But it is the piece that God made you to be. And it's the place that God has for you. People of dynamic faith, do not let anybody else take their place, but they are willing to accept the obligation and the privilege in their generation, in their lifetime, of believing God by faith. I hope I didn't hurt anybody when you fell 3 feet. So here's my question. Other than, are you hurt when you just fell? Are you willing today, to take that next step in faith, believing God and saying, all right, God, I'll go with you? See, that's where it starts. It starts with just that one step at a time. Now, for some, you know what that step is? For some, that step is you realize for the first time, or maybe it's something you've known for a while, but you see it for what it is, that you need Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loves you and gave himself for you. And this is the time that you finally are going to trust him by faith for the forgiveness of sins. Today, that's your step of faith. And call upon him and he'll save you. We'll give you the opportunity in just a moment to step from where you are and come to the front, and one of our people will meet you and direct you to someone who can show you how you can receive Jesus Christ and be saved from your sin and from hell by faith in Jesus Christ. For others who have received Christ, you have another step. It's before you. It's very clear. God the Spirit has shown you that there are things that need to change, where your thinking has been twisted. God's shown you the light of the truth. God has shown you that there are steps that you have to take, that things need to change because God is calling you to take that step of faith. And today, if you'll take it, you are taking that next step to becoming that person of dynamic faith that God can make you. God's designed you to make, and God has the power to make you that person. Would you stand with me, please? With your heads bowed, before the Lord, this is your time to make a decision. You got some serious decisions to make if you're going to become the person of dynamic faith that God wants you to become. This is the time for you to come to Christ. I'm going to invite you in just a minute to step from where you are. Meet one of our men that are here, and they'll direct you to somebody that will just share with you how you can know Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins. There are others. You've got serious. In fact, your life today, God is calling you today to take that step of faith. It is so clear to you, the stewardship that he's placed before you, that I must make this step today. If I do not, I will just take, I'll go backwards rather than forwards. It is so clear. It is so abundantly plain. You have no way around it, and you are confronted with something. Your life is going to change. But you're going to have to do this to become the person of dynamic faith that God can make you. So you say, Pastor, would you just pray with me about it? I need Christ in my life, or I'm making a step of faith. But I know that there are steps of faith that God is calling me today to deal with, and I need to make today. And would you just pray with me about it? I'm not going to identify you in any way except someone whose hand is raised. If that's you, just raise up your hand. Okay, we have a number of folks across our auditorium. And so, Lord God, for these, I pray you'd help them. Oh, God, we all need your help. We can't do it on our own. And so we come to you with humility and boldness because we are unable, but you are able. We are weak, but you are strong. Encourage these friends as they take that next step that your strength is enough and you are worthy of our trust. For we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Your heads are bowed. The instruments are playing. This is your choice and your chance to respond to what God is doing in your life. This altar is here for you to pray. If you'd like someone to pray with you, this is the time. You have other decisions to make. This is the time for you to make those decisions. God is speaking. This altar is available for you. There are decisions to be made. Oh, aren't you grateful? God can make people like us, people of dynamic faith, because he's such a God. He can do it for you. Doubt? Afraid? Hey, God is able. He'll always do you right. Could look this way. If you have your attention, I'll welcome some folks today. We're glad to have Sam and Desiree Burton with us. And then we're also glad to have Peggy Rice with us for the first time. I think I got that right. So thank you for being our guest, all of you. And then we have Charles and Bay Dix. Mr. and Mrs. Dix are here. And these folks are presenting themselves for membership here at Stanley Heights. They've been through two membership classes. Can you believe that? They went through the old and through the new. They were our guinea pigs, our first experiment with our new updated starting point class, we call it. So, Mr. and Mrs. Dix, you both received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And they've shared their testimony with me. It's wonderful how the Lord has worked in their lives. And you've both obeyed the Lord in believers' baptism after that time. All right. And you believe that the Holy Spirit of God has led you to be part of Stanley Heights Baptist Church. All right. Well, then, upon their request, if you're a member here and glad to welcome Mr. and Ms. Dix into our fellowship, would you signify by saying amen?
Amen.
And those opposed by like sign. All right. I think you made it. Now, I'm going to warn you, though. Mr. and Ms. Dix, they had a vacation plan. They're going to be out a number of weeks. So if you say, where did they go? They just joined. Well, they can tell you where they're out of town. They're out of the country even, seeing their son and daughter-in-law and grandchildren in Europe and then some other time. So glad to have you with us today. I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to have, let's see, I'm looking to see who's handy and who's in their adult Bible class. How about if Brother Thompson, would you come on up and just stand with these folks and just introduce them to people as they come by. Would that work? All right, Dr. Thompson's going to come do that. And church family, come by and just welcome them to our church family. And we're just delighted the Lord's sent you to be part of it. All right? Pastor Basinger is going to close us with a song. We'll look forward to tonight. Hey, remember, tonight's children's musician or church musicians in training again. So be here those few minutes early, so you can enjoy those young people ministering to us with their instruments. Sir.
Let's sing the chorus to Until Then, shall we? Until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls.